and she came, she wrote it up, and I went and saw the guy, and he just gave me verbal warning, and he said, just don't do that again. It was more of a fun thing, you know, I was just being fine and happy that day. But it wasn't nothing to throw in paperwork, and I was scribbling.
So why'd you pick Antonio Banderas, sir? You like him?
And that's what everyone's been calling me for years around the yard, because I'm a pretty happy person, and someone says something, well, they just want me to put over there, and they were happy with them, and like me, people laugh at me, and people, I mean, you find it very humorous.
Okay. Well, I see it, according to your age, so you are 58, 59 years old now, sir?
I just turned 59 the other day, yes.
Okay. So did you belong to an STG or have some STG affiliation?
No, I have no affiliation. It shouldn't be anything under STG. I don't have any political tattoos. I've never been pulled in for STG. I've been an attendant in here the whole time. I've never been involved with any gang. I've never had any weapons charges. I've never had an assault on staff. Like I said, I've had four major tickets in 25 years, and two of them kind of bogus tickets. The last one was 6 years ago.
Okay.
I became a pretty low profile here. My goal, like I said, was to do the right thing, stay low and get up, so when we get out and start over. I'm getting old and tired, so I just like to have a little bit of time.
Yeah, it looks like you've been trying to stay pretty clean. Other than this ticket that you received in 18, it was 6 years ago. What was the threatening ticket that you received back in 2012?
I was trying to get my diet back because I'm a vegetarian. I'm non-violent, and I study Buddhist while I was in here. I was trying to work with classes and everything I needed to stay positive. And this chaplain was giving me a hard time, and he thought he could abuse me in a certain way, and I wasn't tolerated, and I expressed to him the way you treat people will reflect on your future, and he took it as a threat. And that was 6 years ago, I believe.
Okay. So, according to your pre-sentence report, what I'm looking at, so this kind of a different incident that occurred back in 1993, where you along with some more friends went to the home of a gentleman, and you guys were going to rob him. He owned a print shop. You guys were going to force him to the print shop, where you had planned to get this Irish printer that was worth $100,000, but it printed counterfeit money. But somehow everything went away, and one of the gentlemen who was with you, after you guys kidnapped the victim from his residence, was in the back of a U-Haul, and in the U-Haul somehow a struggle took place, and a gentleman was shot and killed, fatally shot and killed back there. As a result of it, the guy who you kidnapped wound up jumping out of the U-Haul. What actually happened back then? What was going on with you at that time, sir?
As far as the crime and my lifestyle.
Both the crime and your lifestyle at that time.
Well, it was still the lifestyle. I went to the criminal law before that even happened, that occurred. I was on a medication, and I can't really blame the medication. I can just blame myself for the fact that it happened. But they changed my medications, and I couldn't comprehend a lot of things. I went off the medication because I don't take drugs. Things just started spiraling out of control. I did, in fact, commit the crime, which I deeply regret. And that's what I'm in here for, is this crime. And I can't apologize enough to the victim, the families, and everyone that was involved. And, I've done the time for it. I've done everything they've asked of me while I was in here. I've abided by the rules of the Department of Corrections. I can't change the fact that I hurt the gentleman that did this crime. I hope you can forgive me and we can move on with our lives. I know that it would be hard to do so. So I did do this. And mean, I'm paying the price that I've lost all the ones myself as I was sitting here. I can't say much more than I'm sorry about this. I'm not a criminal, never was.
So why did you guys decide to take this machine? Were you guys going to print counterfeit money or what?
That was the whole thing about it. Yes, that it was to counterfeit money, and we thought, it was going to be something big. And sometimes you choose the path down the road, and it's a lot of money. Things went bad for everyone.
Well, you guys kind of had an elaborate scheme. You went into U-Haul, and how did you find out that this guy had this machine? This printing machine, this Irish printing machine.
My clothing vendor was a computer person, and did the research on it, and found the location and everything.
And then what happened? It seems as though you were the ring leader that planned the whole event. Were you the ring person? Were you the person who planned that?
That's what they claimed, and that's what my co-defendant said I was going to do. But I had money, and he had the smarts, and we put everything together, and he got involved in it too. Well, he had to do 25 years or whatever he'd done. We don't have a plan to make a lot of money. It just didn't work. It was just something that fell from the beginning.
Well, what about one of the other conspirators that was shot? Right? How did that happen?
He was part of the other guy that was supposed to go with us. But there was another gentleman that was supposed to go with us, and he backed out at the last minute. Well, he brought that guy down with him. And it was a friend of his. I didn't know who he was. And he brought the guy with him, and I told him, well, you have to be responsible for him because I don't know who he is and what he's about. And he backed out, but his buddy did not back out and went with us, and he got killed in the process, which I'm sorry for him. Didn't need for this to happen. We won't be grieving to happen, if it was too late.
Well, it sounded like you guys had a plan. You guys, how much money was you guys going to print?
We had no idea.
Because I had a print machine that made money, right?
Well, I had a computer guy that was just an area. And I had my area, and we kind of did it as a team, They think I was the head of the program, but I was just a guy that thought the plan, and then my computer guy had this thought the plan, and we put it together.
So, Mr. Latham, you said that you have been accepted to some halfway houses, but unless I missed it, I didn't really see any letters in your file that you've been into.
There should be at least one. There should be the TLC halfway house in Apache Junction on Schroeder Road. I see a picture of it in there because he needed it before the third of this month to send it to you. So, I got that one in. And then I just got accepted at the one in Phoenix. I got that about a week ago. It's a real nice one. I prefer to go to because I don't want to be around drugs and all the other stuff that comes with it. Like I said, I'm a woman that's smoking cigarettes and stuff. And
well, where's the one in Phoenix at? So you know the address?
I was getting ready with me today. I can have my sales free contact. I just got it a week ago. He got it faxed to him. It's $145 a week, and there's air conditioning, and he just told me just now that it's a lot nicer place. I'm just trying to stay away from all the problems it can cause over there,
So, do you have any money on file that, if you were out, how would you, until you were able to work, how would you be able to survive, sir?
I had money on my books to get the pay for 2 weeks on a halfway house. And it shouldn't take me, but if they give me a little room to walk around, if I go to Phoenix, I can go find a job within a day. I can do restaurants, I can do landscaping, I can teach yoga class at the big hotel, Western Hotel there in Phoenix. I've got quite a few spots where I can go, and I've got some friends I can call, full family members from the past that love me some money. to get a car and get my stuff and get everything situated. And then the first thing I'll have to do is take my attorney down to the time comp and get this time comp straightened out so I can get my floor loan. Eventually, I want to leave. Once I'm on parole, I'd like to go over to Puerto Rico and do the cleanup and start a business over there. I'm familiar with the islands, so I'll be more comfortable there. It's not so violent like it is in the United States, you know. I'm going to start a restaurant and a security team over there in Puerto Rico and get them a team of crews.
All right, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no additional questions coming from the board, so we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, Mr. Latham. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
I just, like I said, I apologize. I don't want to repeat myself on that. I've never been in trouble before in here. I pretty much ran that on the radio about keeping the good record here in the prison system. And, I'm sincere to what I have to say, and I'd like to have an opportunity to be able to start over. I've waited 25 plus years to face you all to express myself and be sincere about this. And I know you've had issues with other people that's come before you and apologize and deal with everything you want here to get released, and then come right back. Well, within the next 25 years, I've always been upset to see people come back because I'm just one of the people that would like an opportunity to have that one chance to prove it. I can get a job, I can get started, I can get off parole, I can get on with my life. I'm not going to be coming back two or three times. I'm too old for this and I'm tired. I did sign up for this 5-HP program here at Santa Rita. I shook the Lord's hand 10, 11 months ago. I was in general population for 24 years. He shook my hand and says, I've gotten quite a few people that's 25 years off on their first year of the board. He looked me in the eye and says, with your background and your attitude, you should sign up for this new program for integrating, and I'll put in a good word for it. Well, I waited a few days, thought about it. I signed up with Mr. Berger on CO3. I got a job soon as I got here, and the warden retired, so he could have put in a good word for me. So I talked to Mr. Montrose, the new warden, and he said, yeah, we could probably do that. And he left to an area. Well, Mr. Watson is another warden over here at Rincon. I was his flower guy on the biggest flower garden in the area. And he was so impressed. He says, if I can, I will. And we look into this. I'm with the IHP to prove myself, to prove to the Department of Corrections, the state of Arizona, that I'm not afraid to go for a BCP to help me get out sooner on parole. And this is why I did not IHP like 10 months ago.
Okay, well, Mr. Latham, let me ask you one other question, because you do have a record, and it's not a real serious record. It looks like that. There's a report in DeKalb, Illinois, where you fired a report was seen that you fired a gunshot inside a room. You have a carrying a loaded gun that you were fired in Alameda, California. You have a DUI, and then you had one in 1993 in Canyon City, Colorado, where it looks like somebody was intoxicated on your property and you fired a gun in order to get the money. So are you just always carrying a gun, or you haven't committed any crimes, but you always carry it?
I live in the first world, I'll start from the ranch. The one in Colorado, I live on a 22,000 acre ranch, and there was people dropped on our property, so we fired in the air, and they claimed that I was in trial, and that was dropped. The one in Chicago, Illinois, my brother-in-law, we were in the trucking business. He fired a gun in the hotel room. I was never charged for that, just there in the rooms. He fired a gun, he got in trouble, and he took some of my guns. The DUI out in California, I tried to get that taken care of, I guess that's a big issue on this one. No, I traveled with a lot of cash, because I was self-employed businessman, so I carried a gun on me everywhere I went pretty much, and I was in a lot of bad neighborhoods. And at one time, I had a local sheriff there in Colorado getting paperwork stating that I carried a gun because of my amount of cash, because I had to pay my employees in the United States cash everywhere I went. But no, I've never traveled with guns until recently on this thing.
All right, well, you carried a large sum of cash, so that large sum of cash didn't come from one of those Irish printing machines, did it? Discussion. So while the board's in discussion, we will make a determination whether to grant or deny you parole, sir. But I need you to stay on the phone so you can hear the conversation taking place. And then I'll get back with you after the board concludes and makes a decision, okay?
I just want to thank you all for your time, too.
Okay. All right, so stay on the phone and remain silent. The board's now going into discussion. We had the opportunity to do the file on Mr. Latham and also speak with him, and this is an incident that occurred back in 1993. Mr. Latham, and along with some of his friends, had conspired to commit a robbery where they were going to kidnap a gentleman and take him into the store, to his print shop, and get him a print machine that was a special machine that could print money. And subsequently, the gentleman who owned the print shop, Mr. Parkinson, was able to free himself. He had a fanny pack with a gun in it and fired off a round, three rounds actually, and he was able to escape, and he killed one of the co-defendants. And Mr. Latham has been in jail and prison, and since he's been in prison, he does have a very minimal prison record since he has been incarcerated, and he has taken programming that it may be a little minimal that he's been available to him. He says that he has two letters of support that was taken to TLC and Apache and one here in Phoenix. However, there's no letter in the file that I could find that actually said that. But he appears to have had a good record. He appears to have a plan that he wants to get out and find a job. He says he has some money to carry him over for 2 weeks, and he has family that he can contact to actually get some money and get himself going. I think that Mr. Latham may be a good candidate to go ahead and release out on parole. The only thing is that I don't have the exact information on whether the sheets that he would have to be released. He says that the CO3 has them. He has one in Apache Junction. He says he thought was in the file, the one that's in Phoenix, which he said is a good place, $145 a week, and he has 2 weeks to pay up on his housing, and he'll find a job out there that he would get out there and come to work. And I think that Mr. Latham was sincere in what he said and talking out. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Mr. Rendowski.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I agree. I think Mr. Latham is sincere, and I think he's one of the ones that's going to make it. Here would be my only concerns is that he doesn't have very much money on the books. And he doesn't have we don't have evidence of a real solid plan. So what I'm thinking is if we gave him a little bit of time, say 6 months, to get that together and then talk to him again in 6 months, because it would be good to know where he's going, how much money he has, and a little bit more detail. So I'd be more comfortable with those things. But I agree with you, I think he's going to do fine.
I agree with Rittenhouse. I think we do need a solid plan. You know, I don't know. You know, one place he's going to Ohio, another place he's going to Puerto Rico, another place he's going to be here in Phoenix, Arizona. So we don't know where he's going to be. And you know, and I'm being facetious. this land, I think if he's going to Puerto Rico, maybe he's taking that machine with him. I caught my attention, that machine was pointing down to Puerto Rico, it might work down to Puerto Rico, and we don't want that to get on our record.
Mr. Canales?
I think I'm just going to end up saying the variation of what was already said, but I think it was well summarized by Ms. Rittenhouse. I believe Mr. Latham shows tremendous promise. This was a tragic case. He went down a bad road, but I think he's going to come out of it. And the plan is the issue. So, thank you.
All right. Well, therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to deny Mr. Latham regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time. I am not going to ask for a one-year set-off. I am going to mark the reasons for denials that it was a serious and violent offense. It was a loss of human life. I'm going to mark crime to the victim since the victim was kidnapped and taken from his house and wind up escaping. I'm going to mark multiple victims in here because you had the victim who was kidnapped, but you also had one of the co-defendants who wind up getting shot and killed. He didn't really have a real strong criminal history. He has had good institutional behavior since he's been in there, although he did have that one incident where he said he was Antonio Banderas, but I think he was just joking, and it did say that's exactly who he said was another inmate. I'm going to mark that he has a poor or no release plan, and since we didn't have any letters or anything, I'm also going to mark no family or community support system that he actually had, although he did tell us about it, but there's none indicated in the actual file. Mr. Latham, that was my motion. Did we vote on that? That's my motion. Okay. Hold on, Mr. Latham. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse.
Agreed.
Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright. Okay. All right. Very good for that. Okay. Mr. Latham.
He seems to be a copy of the TLC thing you sent him before that day with the support back in there. Was he in the middle of the TLC introduction?
Mr. Latham.
Yes.
Okay, so the book, listen to me, sir. Okay. Listen.
My CEO is sending me a Google verifying that I had two places to go.
Okay, so listen to me, sir. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So the board is voted to deny your home arrest, absolute discharge, and regular parole at this time. Did you hear the reasons for the denial, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, sir, the Department of Corrections requires you to have 2 months of funding to take care of your stay to be before they would release you. We also would like to see a better release plan and the addresses of the places that would actually accept you. And so this is your first time coming before this board, sir. We didn't go for a one-year set-off, which means that we could just wait another year before you come to the board. But we did give you 6 months to do it. And that's not a guarantee that the board would release you at that time. However, we would like to see a better release plan and some information from that. So take this time that you have, that 6 months, sir. Work with your CO3. Make sure you get that information in there. If you have some family support, sir, make sure that we get some type of information from your family or some documentation in there that's going to say that we support. We do take you for your word at what you say, but we don't have the written documentation in order to prove that, okay?
Okay, I want to thank you all for your time today.
All right, sir. You keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll see you in 6 months, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, sir.
Okay.